John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
There you are. Hello, you. Morning. You alright? I hope so. Me? Yeah. All good. It's Friday, right? It's Friday. Lovely. Lovely jubbly. Looking forward to the weekend ahead. It's a nice crisp spring morning here in the southwest of England. As always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, yeah, I'm all good.
Great. Great. It's just ticked past 8 in the AM, British summertime. As I say, it's Friday, the 24th of April in the year of our Lord, 2026. I hope you had a nice St. George's Day yesterday. Shall we get straight into it then? Stop faffing about. Stop fannying around and let's get straight into it. What's the corporate mainstream media lying to you about this morning? By omission, if nothing else. Don't mention Ehud Barak, yeah. All sorts of Epstein stuff, but not like his actual connection to intelligence, foreign intelligence agencies. Yeah, got it. Mandy, wall to wall Mandy. But not Epstein's actual purpose. Yeah? Okay. All right, we've got on the front pages of the papers, the British print media, Fleet Street, they say, stop sharing data with China and shoot and kill. That's to do with Iran, the Straits of Hormuz. But stop sharing data with China. That's to do with Britain. Every now and again, I'll have a little pop at China. You might have noticed I've said just explicitly a number of times, I think the CCP is one of the most evil cabals in the whole world by quite a long way. Absolutely our enemy, not just Britain, but like the UK, or in fact anyone that isn't communist. Every now and again I get a little bit of pushback or something like that. Someone on Twitter, or I think there was one time a super chat actually, someone said, I can't remember who it was or anything, but they'll say something like, why are you worried about that? Like, how do they affect me? How do they affect my life? Get some perspective. Oh, why are you having a problem with the Chinese? They're not the enemy. Get real. Honestly, get a clue. Of course they are. Okay, the Times. The Times goes with, we'll get into all of those things. We'll get into all the different elements about China stealing loads and loads and loads of data. There's a story in the United States today as well about AI theft. Chinese stealing AI-related things. This story is to do with British people's DNA. We'll get into it. All right. On the top of the Times, it says, swearing at civil servants simply isn't me, insists McSweeney. If you remember the other day, when Sir Ollie Robbins, Ramona Shill that he is, Ollie Robbins, said before the Select Committee, Emily Thornberry's Select Committee, said that he was told to just effing get it done in regards to Mandelson's vetting. McSweeney says, that doesn't sound like me. I don't do that. I don't swear at civil servants. Yeah, right. Well, I don't know one way or another. I wasn't there, but I don't believe it. I don't believe that. I'm just a good boy. It's sort of that. It's that job as well that he was doing, Chief of Staff at Number 10. If there is someone that would act like Malcolm Tucker, if you don't remember Malcolm Tucker, the character, just a politico who bullies his way around Westminster and Whitehall, being ridiculously aggressive and swearing at everyone, a comedy figure from a comedy show, what was it, The Thick of It? Was it The Thick of It or the other one? Anyway. Malcolm Turnbull. That's the sort of person that would do it. Malcolm McSweeney, or the, you know, like the head of communications, the chief of staff at Number 10, all those types of people. You know, Alistair Campbell type people, Jonathan Powell type people. If anyone's going to sort of go mad and raise their voice and or swear at senior civil servants, it's exactly that type of person. Whether Morgan McSweeney is really nice and polite at all times during his professional career, who knows? I doubt it though. It'd just be the easiest thing in the world, wouldn't it, for him to just say, oh, I don't recall ever saying that. I don't recall ever swearing at people. Plus, also, as I said yesterday, if you remember, I'm in favour of the government bending the civil service to their will. Yeah, bully and browbeat them if possible, if they're not doing as they're told, yeah. Yeah, make them do as they're ordered by their masters, the people that are elected. Rogue civil servants just doing what they want, deciding what policy they will or won't enact. That's all kinds of wrong. Civil servants should be exactly that, servants to the people that have been elected with a mandate from the people. Not to just pick and choose what the policy is going to be themselves. Hate it. Hate it. Ugh. Okay. Call to stop sharing data with China after breach. It says, entirety of UK biobank offered for sale online. So what this is, if you've been to the NHS, if you've been to hospital and various things over the last fair few years, actually, sometimes they would ask you, would you mind if we take a swab, perhaps of like the inside of your mouth, take some sort of swab, and if you sign a thing, we'll actually take blood samples from you, even urine samples and stuff. And it's just for research. We'll only do it if you okay it. But it's for research. We put it into this new thing called the biobank we're doing. It's all good. It's all a great thing. And then over years, there'll be all sorts of research into DNA and statistical analysis. And it just helps medical research. Would you mind? Doesn't cost you anything. All you got to do is sign a bit of paper saying you've allowed us to do it. And would you mind? And so, of course, lots and lots of people, kind, good-natured, good-hearted people of Britain said, yeah, sure, well, it'll take 1 second, doesn't cost me a penny, and it will ultimately help medical research. It might help reduce misery, human misery and suffering in the world or in Britain. Yeah, sure, of course. All that's been stolen by the Chinese now in its entirety. Oh. All right. How does the Chinese affect me? How are the Chinese an enemy of mine in any way? Well, exactly something like that. Did you not get it? Chinese Communist Party, I'm not saying all Chinese people. Chinese Communist Party is evil, evil filth. Be under no illusions. That Winnie the Pooh fella, Xi Jinping fella, is an enemy of yours. I'm telling you. All right. Trump cites Vietnam as he vows not to rush with Iran. So that's a big thing, basically, overnight. Yesterday, overnight in the US, Trump talking to reporters and things. Where at the moment, aren't we, he's in some sort of indefinite ceasefire with Iran until, well, we don't know exactly if and when hostilities will ever start again, at least formally. I mean, there are still some hostilities informally, but reporters saying, what are you going to do and when? And Trump saying, quite reasonably, I think, just my opinion, at this point, at least, this moment in time, just saying to the reporters, look, don't rush me. We've got to give the Iranians some sort of breathing space to get themselves together, to get some sort of functioning government together to even be able to start to strike any sort of deal. Trump wants a good deal. There's no point, this is his argument, there's no point rushing all these things through and it just ends in further disaster. It ends in basically a forever war. trying to avoid a forever war here, basically, is what Trump's saying. Don't blame him. Don't blame him. That's why the poll we did the other day where it was like, has Trump chickened out? I said, didn't I? That I would say no. Not really. Not exactly. I mean, you can argue, can't you? Quite easily. There's an element of that to it. Keep threatening to blow up all their bridges and power stations and they're not. You could easily argue there's an element of chickening out to that. But I would say no. Overall, no. It's like, he's actually trying to, I think, actually trying to avoid a forever war. My feeling. Could well be wrong, right? History could prove me wrong. We'll find out, maybe years from now, exactly what everything that happened. I feel like it's actually prudent. Everyone accuses Trump of being a... Not everyone, but people with TDS and haters of the US and Trump, will say he's a madman, he's so unpredictable. Well, he's actually acting with prudence here, is he not? Is he not? Trying to avoid a Vietnam, trying to avoid an Iraq-style near-endless thing, or many, 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 many years-long thing, by just trying to get the right deal. Then... will he ever be able to make a deal, ever, with Iran? If the sticking points are things like their stockpile of enriched uranium that's buried under a mountain. Or their ability, their insistence that they'll keep doing it if and when they can. Can they ever make a deal then? Like, what are you waiting for? What do you need breathing space for if Iran will never make a deal? So, yeah, it's a sticky situation, isn't it? There's a whole thing. See that little kid there? You might not know. That's a little that little kid. I think he's 8. He's going to be King of England one day. King of England. King Louis the First? It would be, wouldn't it? All right. What else have we got? The Eye Paper. Shoot and kill. Trump's new order to US Navy in Gulf as Iran peace talks stall. There you go. So there was what I was saying. Trump wanting breathing space and things, giving Iran breathing space for peace talks or some sort of deal to be struck. It needs to be the right deal, he's saying. You can also say, can't you, what deal? What deal are you talking about? I can't see any feasible deal on the horizon remotely. They've got their lines in the sand, and the US and Israel, they've got theirs. And never the twain shall meet. It'd be very, very difficult for them to ever find... unless one side moves massively, and the US and Israel are not good at... they're not going to. If anyone's got to move their position, it's kind of got to be Iran, hasn't it? Because Israel and the United States hold all the cards militarily. Right? That's the reality of it. Iran's not going to invade Israel or the United States. It can't. They can do that to Iran in the final reckoning if they really, really wanted to. So with that said, with that being the reality, Iran will have to move its position. But I don't think it will it? It's got no, showing no signs of doing that about uranium, for example. And a number of other things. All right, let's read the little blurb on the Eye Paper. It's about the best thing you're going to get out of Fleet Street on any given day. Israel's defense minister threatens to return Iran, quote, to the dark and stone ages. President tells US military to attack Iranian ships in the Strait of Hormuz as part of struggle to control waterway. Tense standoff as fears grow of return to conflict, with both sides hardening their stance after diplomacy stalls. US forces board another tanker carrying Iranian oil. Trump says King Charles's state visit next week could, quote, absolutely, quote, help repair his strained relations with the UK. Yeah, maybe a bit. Trump does get on with King Charles, and he does like the monarchy, doesn't he? He always thought it was a great, great honour to go and have like a state banquet at Buckingham Palace or something with the Queen or something along those lines. And maybe it will a bit. But sitting down, shaking hands, and having a genial conversation with King Charles is not really going to change who Keir Starmer is and the policy of his government, is it? The May elections may change the nature of the government in the sense that we'll have a new one. We'll see. Will Trump get on with interim Prime Minister David Lammy? David Lammy in the past has said, before that Labour in government this time, said, you remember, some relatively harsh things about Trump before, when they were in opposition. Can't remember exactly what he said. I paraphrase. It was like stuff like, Trump's a complete idiot, wasn't it? It was things like that. Like, Trump can't be trusted, crazy, crazy dude. Yeah, that's coming from Lammy. Right, the Financial Times, there's a picture of some Iranian people boarding a ship. US accuses China. So here's another China story, completely different to the one where they seem to have stolen and now are selling the biometric data of loads and loads of British people. Separate to that, US accuses China of industrial scale theft from AI labs in tech's arms race. Don't ask me again why I think China is a threat to us, okay? Don't insult me or anyone else with that question. Get a clue. Okay. Distillation campaign in focus. Okay, Beijing condemns pure slander. Yeah, the Chinese are saying, no, we didn't. No, we didn't. Trump to meet Xi in weeks. All right. The Guardian, ugh. The Guardian. Foreign Office shuts a unit tracking potential law breaches by Israel. That's odd, isn't it? That's interesting. Isn't it? Yeah, the Foreign Office had a unit that was tracking potential breaches of international law in Gaza and other places in Lebanon. Because of cuts within the department, they've just scrapped it all. Okay, all right. UK biobank health data for sale on Chinese site. Great. Great. The Metro. Here's a story where everyone involved is a douchebag. You ever get those stories? Where literally everyone involved in it from top to bottom, you don't like, don't care about. Get it effing right. I'm not even white. This story real quick. Don't spend much time on it because it's so annoying. Shabana Mahmood. Like the Pakistani Home Secretary, Shabana Mahmood, was doing some live podcast, it was being recorded in a theatre in London, some podcast, right? This guy stands up, he's like a Malaysian person, or of Malaysian descent, anyway. Yeah, Malaysian. He's of Malaysian descent. He stood up and started heckling her for being too much of a racist, for being too much of a fascist. She's not, of course. She's not. She's the opposite of that. She's some sort of weirdo Islamo-socialist traitor freak. She's the furthest thing from, like, right wing. The furthest thing. Nonetheless, this psycho, this absolute brain-dead psycho Malaysian person, stood up and started heckling her for being, like, an evil person that doesn't do enough for immigrants and things. And she like hit back at him in real time, apparently, saying something like, you're just a white liberal, something like that. Great, the Home Secretary. Using white as a pejorative. Brilliant. Brilliant. So both parties here. Completely insane and disgusting and traitorous and evil, as far as I'm concerned. as far as any patriot or nativist is concerned. Just foreign people destroying our country and arguing amongst themselves about it one way or another. She called him just a, like, be quiet, you white liberal. He hit back saying, I'm not even white, I'm Malaysian. Oh my God. My God. Get out of my island. Look at this. Want to be infuriated? A little bit of a black pill this morning on the Sun. This guy, this smiling monster, he fled Egypt, 20-year-old dude, an Egyptian, 20-year-old dude, fled Egypt because he was on a murder charge in Egypt, illegally crossed in a small boat, and then was part of a gang rape on Brighton Beach. And now he's laughing and smiling about it. Migrant rapist was on run for murder, reads the headline. Monster arrived illegally on dinghy. Two other rapists were on same boat. Thanks, Care for Calais. Thanks, RNLI. Thanks for that. Thanks, French police. We fund to the tune of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of pounds. Thanks, the British government. Thanks, Border Force. Thanks for that. Thanks, Blair. Thanks, Brown. Thanks, Cameron. Thanks, May. Thank you, Boris. Cheers, Rishi. Appreciate it. Thank you, Sir Keir Starling. Brilliant. Just letting monsters like this in. Then the Runnymede Trust or Care for Calais or whatever. Hope not hate. We'll just say it's un-British not to just give these people asylum, not to just give them free hotels and mobile phones and money and handouts. No, these are invaders with bad intentions. I can't even dwell on it because it's so terrible, isn't it? So terrible. Just don't accept any of the arguments from people anymore that we need to do anything other than put the Royal Marines in the channel and stop those small boats at the point of an SA-80 if necessary. We're going to tow you back to the French beach, drop you there. If the French get uppity about it, we'll have a summit, we'll have a meeting. You can go to the Hall of Mirrors in Versailles if you like. You can do something in London if you like. Sit down, all the top people involved, hash it out. And the bottom line is, we're going to keep doing that. But you're going to have a full-scale war with us. France and Britain are both nuclear-armed nations. What, you're going to have a nuclear exchange with us over it, are you? No, you're not. No, you're not. So we're going to keep doing it. In both Britain, that's what would happen. Day one, if I had to, I'd announce some sort of emergency, some sort of crisis. If that's what it requires, legally. And in cabinet, just get the Minister for Defence. Go get one of your generals to go get a colonel or a major from the Royal Marines, maybe 4-2 Commando, and deploy in the channel right now. Right now. I'm talking today, this afternoon. And you're physically stopping those small boats. Now, pretty straightforward. And let us deal with the political side fallout if the French government get their knickers in a bunch about it. We'll deal with that. Put the Marines there now. We can't have one more rape, one more violent assault. One more of these people just engaged in endless organised crime one way or another. It's got to stop as soon as possible. As soon as possible. Sarah Cox is going to get the new BBC breakfast slot. Coxie, I've got my dream job on Radio 2. Good. Well done. Well done. Okay. The Daily Tory graph. There's Wills's son, who's going to be king one day. There you go. Herma's excessive fee for Iraq witch hunt. MOD challenged £450 an hour rate to investigate war crimes by British troops. Okay. Here's a story. It's in the news at the moment. Imagine this. Imagine this. You're a British soldier, one way or another. You've been trained to follow orders. You've been ordered, you've been sent to a theatre of combat. You've been fired upon. You've been ambushed and fired upon. And everything you're supposed to do is fire back, least of all, to save your own life. You've been ambushed and fired upon by enemy combatants. You fire back. Then those enemy combatants then find a lawyer from your country and lie about it. Say you were just trying to murder them for no reason. And your lawyers in your own country then launch an investigation and try and prosecute you for manslaughter and murder and things. Imagine that. You think that's a bit of a weird, unlikely set of events? Nope. Happens loads. Can you imagine such a travesty, such an injustice? I've got an article here. Here we go. Let me read a little bit from this article that's in the Mail today. Our heroes are furious about the legal vultures hounding them for serving Britain. It's so bad as well. Don't think this is just one or two examples of this. It's loads. It's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. Apparently, they're spending £1 million a month on hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different prosecutions. Big chunks of the SAS have retired early because then in a type of protest about it. Let me read a little bit from this particular article. The revelation that our Attorney General, the highest lawman in the land, the Attorney General, Lord Herma, revelation that Lord Herma was part of a group of lawyers said to have hounded British soldiers on behalf of Iraqi hoodlums and thugs will surprise no one who served in Iraq or indeed in any recent British military campaign. So, just to give you quickly an overview, we'll read about it, but again, people from Iraq, or it could be Syria or Afghanistan, somehow able to get in contact with not necessarily Lord Herma himself, but sometimes Lord Herma, but other British lawyers, human rights lawyers. In fact, the human rights lawyers will go to Iraq and Afghanistan and Syria and try and find these people. Then they just lie to them. Simple as that. Just deliberate liars. Say, yeah, it wasn't that we ambushed them. They just started firing on us for no reason. They were just trying to murder us all. Yeah, that's what happened. Then the human rights lawyers go back to Britain and bring cases against soldiers. Brave men and women that were trying to do the right thing in their minds, if nothing else. Okay. You think, Bo, how do you know they were lying? Oh, of course, there's been investigations. Years, 10 years more of investigations into all this. And they're shown to be deliberately lying. Loads. On behalf of Iraqi hoodlums and thugs. I speak, this is just Bob Seeley in an opinion piece in the Mail Online. He says, I speak of many thousands of veterans, not like half a dozen cases, not two dozen cases, thousands of veterans, both full-time and reservists, when I say that what we truly think of Herma and his coterie of human rights lawyers is unprintable, but contempt, anger and derision would be good starting places. The comfortable world of solicitors' consulting rooms was a far cry from the blinding heat, dust and sweat in Iraq and Afghanistan. Think what it's like to patrol for hours, weary with heavy kit on your back, wrapped in Osprey body armour itself weighing 10 kilos, sweat dripping into your eyes, head boiling beneath a chunky helmet, and then imagine having to make life or death split-second decisions under attack from Iran-backed Mahdi army militia in Iraq or Taliban fighters in Afghanistan. Yet it was these brave British soldiers who endured exactly such perilous conditions day after day, who You can talk about the political side of it. Did Tony Blair and George Bush, was it on the strength of light? Okay, that's another thing. But once the soldiers are actually there, okay, once they're actually there and they're trained and ordered to do, to be there and to be doing what they're doing, okay, that's something different. I do have questions and reservations about the inception of those wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, but that's not what we're talking about here. Now the troops, at this point now, then the troops are on the ground doing what they're told and trained to do. Okay, that's exactly the perilous conditions day after day. Who became the target for a despicable witch hunt mounted by lawyers from their own country. Now Herma's personal role in giving legal advice to fellow lawyers, at least one subsequently struck off, in a large-scale attempt to sue the Ministry of Defence, has come to light. The resulting five-year public inquiry, a £31 million bonanza for lawyers, attempted to present the British Army as no more than a gang of marauding thugs bent on Vietnam War-style massacres. I suppose they're talking about the My Lai massacre there. But the claims had been a tissue of lies from beginning to end, and the Al Sweedy investigation, as it became known, cleared the British troops. There's Lord Herma there. Sort of an arch traitor, an arch enemy of the state and the army, if nothing else. Doing everything he can to undermine us from every possible angle. Lord Herma. Yeah. Loves the idea of giving away the Chagos Islands. If Andrew Virgin is to be believed. Maybe even made a lot of money out of trying to give away the Chagos Islands. And just trying to demonise and prosecute British soldiers that were just doing as they were told and ordered to do. Lord Herma. Starmer's pick to be Attorney General. That's who that is. The article continues. It is disgraceful that even today the hounding of our soldiers continues with ageing Northern Ireland veterans chased through the courts for actions and events of decades ago. Is it any wonder the British Army is gripped by a recruitment crisis? Special Forces soldiers are reportedly quitting early for fears of being sued in years to come for obeying lawful orders. Yeah, loads of the SAS just quit, retired. The whole debacle was a repugnant play in two acts, both of which also involved Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer. Act 1. Lawyers campaigned to use European human rights laws to investigate and presumably prosecute British troops. Back in 1997, Starmer himself called for such laws to be used to investigate our troops in Iraq. Act 2. Starmer was instrumental in a 2007 case which extended the European and British human rights laws to cover military operations in Iraq, opening an Aladdin's cave for greedy lawyers to attack British forces. It is now alleged, and now there's thousands of them. Great. It is now alleged that Lord Herma was one of the lawyers who advised how to pursue claims against the Ministry of Defence. Advised who? Advised other lawyers who advise Iraqi, Afghani, Syrian liars. Just tell us a whole bunch of liars and we'll take that to court and try and put these people in prison. And that he continued to press for large payouts on behalf of vile, lying clients, even as evidence mounted of their shameless dishonesty. So there's inquiries into this. They've been found that they're just complete liars. Complete liars. They're shameless dishonesty. Our politicians must also bear some blame. Allowing human rights legislation to be used against our military in the first place was an act of cowardice and stupidity. The policy originated under the government of Tony Blair. Of course it did. Another example of his corrosive influence on public life. The truth is that Britain has always had high standards in soldiering. Our troops, mostly during their long years in Northern Ireland, developed a culture of intelligent soldiering and a deep humanity for the societies in which they operated. At the close of the Second World War, German civilians were desperate to fall under British control rather than into the hands of the Soviet troops, now reviled in posterity by history, for the mass rape and murder of women and men. To depict British soldiers as an out-of-control rabble, such as the Russian army in Ukraine today, is a despicable libel. Should individual British soldiers behave badly, there has always been a robust military chain to deal with them, including the courts-martial or military courts. One of the soldiers caught up in the Iraqi scandal, Lance Corporal Brian Wood, said Herma and others had pursued a witch hunt for years. Herma said he was representing the people trying... Lance Corporal Wood said, was representing the people trying to kill us. Yeah. Pretty much as simple as that, isn't it? People trying to kill English, British soldiers. Lord Herma and his human rights lawyers defending them. Going with their lies after the fact. Could it be more treasonous, more revolting? Lance Corporal Wood goes on to say, look at where we are in the world at the moment. And you wonder if we can trust the government.
Yeah.
Wood was awarded the Military Cross for his courage in Iraq during the Battle of Danny Boy, the name of a British checkpoint ambushed by Iraqi militia in May 2004. Similar, isn't it, to that Australian Victoria Cross recipient who's right now, I believe, being held on remand in a prison cell in Australia because human rights lawyers and stuff are trying to prosecute him for, like, what, manslaughter and murder and things, when in fact he's just a war hero. This is what you get from leftist globalist governments, leftist globalist people that mean to undermine and destroy everything that's strong about your country. That's what they do, at every possible angle, all the time. Oh, you've got still some brave strong men, like war hero type chads. You've got any super chads? We've got to go after them. Laser-like focus on them. Try and put them in prison, try and liable them as murderers. Yeah, that's what they do. That's what they are. Weak people filled with resentment, with a giant chip on their shoulder that they're not chads. They're not strong men, strong, brave, noble, righteous men that put their life on the line. Resentful of that to the point where they would want to take down someone who is that. Crazy, isn't it? Yeah, the Battle of Danny Boy. British troops ambushed. And if you fire back, you're the baddie in this. I served in Iraq and Afghanistan. Not me personally, I'm reading the article again now. The article says, I served in Iraq and Afghanistan. I remember the exhaustion at the end of patrols. The gunshots over and near your patrol. The rockets thrown at you. The rocks thrown at you. Missiles aimed at your base. Decisions are taken by young men and women fighting exhaustion, heat, the enemy, and armed with only limited situational awareness. My admiration for people like Wood is boundless. Yet I am ashamed of the legal, political, and military classes that failed to protect good soldiers like him. One of the baleful consequences of ambulance-chasing human rights lawyers has been the effect on the Ministry of Defence. I remember painful conversations, including an absurd one in Basra in Iraq in late 2007, when a Ministry of Defence policy advisor tuttingly lectured me, the condescension dripping from her voice like a leaky tap, of the importance of not preparing for contact being a firefight of some kind, with a militant on the off chance that they had an innocent explanation for carrying a rocket-propelled grenade. Imagine that. You're a soldier in theatre, in country, and your political overlords say, don't fire back at someone that's got a rocket-propelled grenade, because they might not fire it at you. They're going to fire it at you. They're not supposed to just be walking around with rocket-propelled grenades. Why have they got a rocket-propelled grenade? You can't prepare for contact. You can't, like, see him and go, oh, I best pick up my SA-80. Best make sure it's chambered. Best make sure it's cocked and loaded and the safety's off. Can't do it. None of that. No. You might have a completely, perfectly innocent reason for walking around near a British checkpoint with a rocket-propelled grenade. What? So fearful were we of the human rights class that protecting the lives of British soldiers and innocent Iraqi civilians came second to militants' rights to carry weapons. There you go, Lord Khama. He'll lead that charge. Okay, I've spent a bit of time on that. It goes on. It's an interesting article, but it goes on, just to sort of make the point, including generals there. General Sir Peter Wall chipping in on it. I'll quickly read that. General Sir Peter Wall, one of the commanders in Iraq, has said that the orchestrated claims against British troops following the Battle of Danny Boy, quote, were tantamount to treason. What does Herman, the country's chief legal advisor, have to say to these devastating accusations? Nothing, he'll just keep quiet on it now. Keep quiet on that now. Alright, I thought that was worth talking about this morning. The Mirror. Sarah Cox is getting us back on the radio. Okay, great. Oh, Football Focus. Real quick to say this. Football Focus, Saturday show that's been going for like 50-odd years, is going to be axed. The BBC axed it. Because it went super woke and made some brown woman like the face of it. No one watches it anymore. Yeah, that's what that'll do. Is it one of the articles? There we go. BBC axes Football Focus after 52 years on British screens. What's her name? Alex Scott. Football fans are not interested in Alex Scott's very, very poor grasp of football. There's that old sketch, isn't there? There's a Harry Enfield and Paul Whitehouse sketch from years ago, where like two football managers are going to be interviewed after a game by a female sports reporter. And they just ignore her, like she's not there. And then eventually they just turn to her and are like, "Where's the bloke, love? We always talk to a bloke. This is football. Get the bloke." It's a comedy sketch, right? Art imitating life. Yeah, if you insist on making football commentators women, not women minorities, the vast majority of men are not interested in that. Sorry, not sorry. We don't want to hear about the latest close offside call from Alex Scott. We just don't. We don't. So no one watches it anymore and they've got to axe it. Well done. Yeah, well done. How many times does this have to play out? Whether it's like Budweiser or Coors or whatever, or Jaguar or Football Focus. All the things, like Gillette. Things that are supposed to appeal to white males. Just completely subvert it and sort of write them out of the equation. And expect it just to survive and do as well as it's always done. The Star Wars franchise. A million and one things. The market for that thing is white men. And you start marketing it as though white men are evil and of no importance to the thing surviving financially. Go woke, go broke. Yeah, so people don't buy it. People don't watch it. And the thing dies. How many times does that have to play out? I don't know. It's funny at this point. Like, do I care if Football Focus isn't on TV anymore? No, fine. Get rid of it. Get rid of it then. Fine. Well done, Alex. Well done, Alex Scott. Brilliant. Well done, the producers and directors and top brass at the BBC. Well done for tanking that thing that's been going for 52 years. Yeah, well done. Hope you're proud of yourself. Alex Scott herself will still play a key role in the wider BBC sport realm, though. There you go. No more Football Focus after the end of this year. This guy, look at this weirdo. He's got HIV and he spent 7 years trying to spread it to as many people as possible, including a 15-year-old. Okay. The Express, it's a good paper. Esther Ranson really wants people to be able to die. Okay, does she? All right. The Independent. It's the same stuff, manly stuff. The Daily Mail. Oh, look, BBC kills off football focused. Yeah. Farage, this is reasonably interesting. Farage, I'll wage war on benefits culture. Don't believe you. He says he will, though. Reform leader tells Mal he'll face down riots, protests and strikes to cut bloated welfare bill. Don't really believe you. Don't believe anything Nigel says. Don't believe anything he says, really. Simple as that. Right, you've got a certain amount of political capital, haven't you? Any given person. Whether they believe you. You can make the policy. You get someone to write that policy on a web page. You could even print it in real life on proper paper. In the real world, that's your policy. Don't believe you, though, that you'll do it. And plus, still not talk about mass re-migration. You just cut the welfare bill, but... As far as people to the right of Nigel, restore people and stuff, as far as we're concerned, how can he ever really live down that Stephen Edgington interview? Where he said, it's impossible. Edgington asked him, just straight up, what about mass re-migration? And he said, it's impossible. It's impossible. You can then get Zia Youssef months, a year later or whatever, to talk about, oh, no, we would re-migrate quite a lot of people. As many as 400,000 is the latest, one of the latest things I saw out of Reform. Not good enough. Millions must go. Millions must go. But Nigel's terrified of that, isn't he? He's a political coward, political weakling, scared of Islam. Terrified of Islam. It's the only conclusion I can come to. Nigel Al Farage. But you're going to go to war on benefits culture. Don't believe it. Don't believe you. You've lied too many times. Betrayed your own base too many times. A number of times. All right. Let's have a look at our poll. What poll did we do today? It's already 2:15. Harry, if you could bring up the poll, engage. Okay, what did we say? We asked you guys, has there been a witch hunt against British soldiers? I spent the last 20 minutes arguing that that is the case. Seems to have worked, because the eyes have it. 88% of you say yes. I feel like I really teed that up. I forgot that. I always forget almost immediately what our poll's going to be every morning. Nonetheless, 88%, boom, my people, 88% say yes, only 3% say no, and 9% say maybe. So, yeah, it seems pretty slam dunk, isn't it? After all the inquiries and things that have gone into it, it just is the case, isn't it? There's been a witch hunt. That 3% you put no there, you better be trolling. No, don't go. All right, shall we have a quick look at the websites a little bit before we get onto this day in history? There's one or two stories this morning I thought were interesting. Let's have a quick look at the price of oil. We do that on this show, don't we? On the Beau Show, on Breakfast with Beau. We sometimes have a look at the price of crude in real time, don't we? Just for the sake of it. So we can put in perspective what it really is. So it's climbed a bit in the last 2 days. West Texas is at 95, just shy of 96, right now, as of 48 minutes past 8 in the AM British Summer Time. Trading just shy of $96 a barrel. Brent crude is up at 105. Not cheap, is it? But once again, not insane. It is higher. There's no way to... Anything over $100 a barrel is higher. I won't claim otherwise. I'm not trying to... I'm trying to be honest and fair-handed about it, but it's not mentally high. Still, as always, make sure to point out there is a difference between the price of a barrel of crude and what normal people end up paying at the petrol pump. And it's not fair, is it, that the price of crude hasn't gone spastically higher, but the price of a gallon of diesel has. Governments could lower taxes on all of that, couldn't they? But no. No, no, no. They'll send in riot police and the army before they do that. What, am I exaggerating? Or am I talking about Ireland? I'm talking about the Republic of Ireland right now. the Irish people, would you mind please lowering the taxes that you've got on oil because it's so high? Nope. All right, well, we'll start protesting. Well, we'll send in the riot police and or the army then. Oh, you could just lower taxes on petrol for us. No. Crazy. All right. BBC, a few stories I want to quickly get to, or at least mention in passing. Look, Epstein housed victims in London flats after Met Police chose not to investigate him in 2015. Virginia Guffrey comes forward in about 2015, saying, I'm a victim of sex trafficking and sexual assault and everything. This is the people that did it. Andrew Sachs-Coburg-Gotha, Jeffrey Epstein. And the police are like, interesting, we'll take down everything you're saying, not investigate it. It's documented now, that massive DOJ dump of documents the Americans did. It's all there in black and white. Four different houses in London. We've got a collage of them. There you go. Look, four different properties in central London. Really nice places in like Kensington and Chelsea. Massive townhouses. Jeffrey Epstein trafficked women. Met Police weren't interested in investigating that at the time. Here's a story here. We've mentioned before a few times, haven't I? I think it's interesting, funny. Not really all that funny, ha-ha, but funny, interesting. That there's all. Remember, there was all sorts of trading spikes just before certain events would happen. Like someone on the inside would know that Trump's just about to attack Iran, say. And the price of crude will probably spike on the back of that. So you buy crude in some way, whether the commodities or just the equities in a company that deals with it. One way or the other, there's various things. Or go on Polymarket and just make a bet on that exact thing. Right? You know, whoever you are, you somehow know that America's just about to do a special forces raid to kidnap Maduro. You go on Polymarket and put a bet on exactly that happening. And then it does, because you knew it was just about to, and you make $400,000. US soldier charged after winning $400,000 betting on removal of Maduro. So at least they've actually got one person for it. Now, very quickly say, a US Special Forces soldier involved in the military operation that captured Nicolas Maduro has been arrested after he allegedly bet on the removal of Venezuela's former leader before the information was publicly available. The US Department of Justice has charged Gannon Ken Van Dyke, that's a name, isn't it? Gannon Ken Van Dyke, after he allegedly made trades on Polymarket, a crypto-powered platform, on the basis of classified information. This is clear insider trading and is illegal under federal law, Justice Department official said. Yeah. It's over $400,000. That is cheeky, isn't it? You're not supposed to do that, dude. Hey, Gannon. Oi, Gannon, mate. Not supposed to do that, are you? You knew you're not supposed to do that, didn't you? Yeah. He's obviously not the only one, though, is he? Quite obviously one of many, many, many people that are doing that. Because that was on Polymarket. That doesn't necessarily move whole markets. That wouldn't, like, his one bet, in inverted commas, on Polymarket is not going to show up on, like, trading trends across global markets, which some of these have. So he's one of many that's doing this. Many, 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 many people that are doing similar things like this. It's cheeky. That's an understatement. It's a bit more than cheeky, isn't it? Pretty gross. Okay. Was there something on... not that. We've done that. What was it? Mail Online. We've done that. The Express. There was... Oh, yeah. The Ayatollah. We still haven't seen... big stretch there. We still haven't seen or heard from the Ayatollah, Khomeini II, have we? Well, finally, we're being told that I've seen a little bit of information about him. They're still claiming he's not dead. He is alive, according to them. But he's so badly burnt, he's going to need plastic surgery on his face. Iran's supreme leader, quote, needs plastic surgery, quote, after face severely burned in airstrike. And his lips, apparently, his face and lips are so badly melted that he's going to need plastic surgery. He's had loads of he says he's had loads of operations on one of his legs, and he's currently waiting for a prosthetic. So they've had to amputate his legs, or it was just severed. But they're insisting he is alive. They also say he has no real contact with the rest of the government, whatever the government of Iran is right now. He has no direct contact with them. He's completely in hiding, and he sends written messages through a courier, and then another courier, and then another courier, so the Israelis and Americans won't find out exactly where he is in hiding and just blow him up immediately, because they've said they would. They will. They find out. So the story now, believe it if you want, take it or leave it, is that he is alive, but he's lost a leg, or at least part of his leg, and his face and lips are all burnt up, and he's not actually doing any of the real business of government exactly, because he's only in contact with them through writing, through a number of intermediaries. He's got no direct contact. He's not having any meetings with any of the top people ever, or anything like that. So, okay, I mean, take that. You can take or leave that reporting. You might think, oh, that's nonsense. You might think either that all of that is just American or Israeli propaganda, and in fact, he's actually fine. Or, on the other end of the spectrum, he's actually dead, and this is all Iranian cope. He's actually just dead already. Who knows? Who knows? But that's what the reporting's saying. I'm prepared to take it. I've got no special intelligence of my own, of course. So I'm prepared to take that this reporting on, at face value at this point, till we find out for sure one way or another. There you go. I thought that was interesting. The state of the Ayatollah. This grinning monster. Ugh. There was one story, was there, in The Sun that was of mild interest before we move on to On This Day in History. Oh, yeah, maybe was it Harry? A little bit of Harry. All right, a wee spot of Harry. Harry, somehow now, for some reason, a Ukraine shill. Massive Ukraine shill. Physically went to Kiev and is just shilling on behalf of Ukraine, trying to wag the finger at Donald Trump. Why don't you live up to your obligations to give Ukraine endless billions? All right, mate. Sorry, who are you again? Well, you're a nobody. That's who you are now, isn't it? You're a nobody now. So pipe down. Nobody cares what you've got to say. You're not trustworthy. Your only job in life, in your whole life, your only job was to not talk about your relationship with your own family in any detail that would be embarrassing to them. In your whole life, that was all you had to do. Right? Like a domestic pet. Your only job really is to not attack anyone. If you do that, brilliant. Everyone wins. You get a cushy life forever. All you've got to do is not maul a child. That's your only job in your whole life. His only job his whole life was to not tell papers and leak to friends that he's having arguments with his brother or his dad. Couldn't do that. No. Constantly leak about it. You're a scumbag, mate. You're a disgusting scumbag. Don't tell me about Ukraine. I'm not interested in your opinion on Ukraine. Who's getting you to do that? Why do you care about the Ukraine-Russian conflict, Harry? Really, why? Oh, you're some sort of voice of importance about global strategy, are you, Harry? No, you're not. Someone's asked you to do that and or paid you to do that. Shut up. Get lost. Get out of my face. Disgusting chump. It's a wrong'un. Harry. Just go off and live in America and go be friends with some people in Hollywood. Not interested in what you've actually got to say. You're a moron. You're a moron. Okay, on this day in history. Down through the centuries or millennia, on this day, the 24th of April, what happened of note? Should we have a look? Okay, according to this website, might have to change this website. I threatened that the other day, didn't I? Might have to use a different on this day in history type website. This one's It's pretty good. It's usually good, but... All right, the first one it comes up with here, it says, in 1184 BC, the Greeks enter Troy using the Trojan horse. We've got no date for that. There's no date for that. We don't even know it's anywhere near that year. It was the 24th of April, was it? The Trojan War is semi-mythical. I mean, okay, got that. We got the archaeology. We know something there definitely happened. Right? The archaeological record shows there was something there in modern-day Turkey. Right? But the literary record, the Homeric epic poems, are literature. They're more literature than history. Okay? They come down to us through the oral tradition. They're not firm history. You can't say that on the 24th of April, 1184 BC, is the day the Greeks entered Troy. It's a ridiculous thing to say. All right. We'll be doing content at some point all about the Iliad. The Iliad, I remember first being asked to read the Iliad at A level. Had to do it in extreme detail. And since then, going through it and rereading it a couple more times and reading around it loads. The story of the anger of Achilles. Sing, goddess of the anger of Achilles. The story of Agamemnon and his brother Menelaus against the Trojans. Against Paris and Hector. The death of Hector. Great story. Brilliant story. If you're into ancient history, it's an absolute, absolute, absolute must. You cannot say that it was the 24th of April in the year 1184 when they finally entered Troy in Odysseus's wooden horse. None of which is in the Iliad, by the way. That's later tradition. Tradition. Not history. All right, let's move on. On this day in 1877, the Russo-Turkish War. Russia declares war on the Ottoman Empire. This is an important bit of history. After the Crimean War in the 1850s, where the French and the British largely stopped the Russians from their aggression against the Ottoman, not because the English and the French loved the Ottoman Empire particularly, but they just saw Russia as a the Russian Empire at that point as a strategic enemy. Well, after that, a little bit more than 20 years later, the Russians go back to war with the Ottomans and win that time. Like, what? There's loads of stuff happening that, like the Romanians, loads of sort of Eastern Europe, the Balkans were still under Ottoman control, at least nominally. They'd been in decline for centuries, but places like Bulgaria, Romania, Serbia, big chunks of the Balkans and Eastern Europe. Russia, sort of, not exactly the right word, but liberate them from Ottoman rule. It's a bit generous to call it a liberation. But anyway, the Ottoman rule is pushed back to Constantinople itself. Shades of the decline and fall of the Byzantine Empire. The Ottomans, what, 400 or 500 years later, get a taste of their own medicine. History reversing itself. Interesting, though, the Russo-Turkish War. Anyone who talks about the Crimea should really be aware of the Russo-Turkish War that happened afterwards as well. Let's get it all in perspective. Okay, on this day in 1898, the Spanish-American War. Spain declares war after rejecting US ultimatum to withdraw from Cuba. Bad idea. As far as Spain is concerned, bad idea. Look, there's TR. There's Teddy Roosevelt there. Guy in the middle there with the glasses on, if you can see that. Teddy Roosevelt. And his Rough Riders, his so-called Rough Riders. Rough Riders, ooh. that war didn't work out very well for Spain. There's loads to this war. And in fact, Later today, this evening, I should be recording a long-form bit of content with Benjamin Boyce talking all about the life and times and career of Teddy Roosevelt. I actually know tons and tons and tons all about Teddy Roosevelt right now. Been reading a book or two, boning up about TR for the last 6 months or so. I know tons about Roosevelt right now. Anyway, he led an actual cavalry charge. Small one, but nonetheless. An actual cavalry charge. The Spanish, there was a revolt going on in Cuba. America got involved. The Spanish sunk an American ship. And there's war. Net result of it, long story short, net result of it is nearly all of Spain's empire, what's left of it, collapses. They're booted out of Cuba, booted out of all of the American sphere of influence, booted out of the Philippines. America takes over the Philippines. All sorts of places in the Pacific. Where Spain had had, right, in centuries past, a giant globe-spanning empire, it largely crumbled and wasted away by the late 19th century. And in that Spanish-American War of 1898, more or less everything they've got left is just taken from them because they can't defend any of it. America goes from just an important economy, a very important regional power, to, after that, starting to truly span the globe, starting to truly, truly, legitimately be a player in the top countries in the whole world. You might think, as soon as there was the United States in 1776, they're one of the big players in the world. No, not at all. Not at all. It's only really after World War One, between World War One and World War Two, when their navy becomes the biggest navy in the world and sort of just undeniably the richest and most powerful, and all their resources are really cooking on gas, so to speak. Even earlier in the 19th century, they were, people thought of the United States as sort of a middling power, maybe an upper middling power. That's in the middle of the 19th century. Well, this, the Spanish-American War, puts the United States on the map big time. They're absolutely now in the top tier of countries in the world at that point now. There you go. Anyway, interesting. Very interesting. Teddy Roosevelt there. That's how Rough Riders roll. Great photograph. Fascinating photograph. All right. On this day in 1916 was the Easter Rising of Irish Republicans against British occupation begins in Dublin. Right in the middle of World War One. Thanks for that. Thanks for that. Was it right in the middle of the Somme campaign? Great. Cheers. Okay, on this day in 1967, American General William Westmoreland, Commander-in-Chief in the Vietnam Theatre, says in a Vietnam News war conference that the enemy has, quote, gained support in the United States that gives him hope that he can win politically that which he cannot win militarily. Not entirely wrong. William Westmoreland, in the end, replaced as overall CO on the ground in Nam. A lot to talk about Westmoreland, but we'll move on. Last one here says, on this day in 2023, India surpasses China as the world's most populous country, according to US estimates, with about 1.4 billion people. Estimated to reach 1.7 billion by 2064. India more populous than China. There you go. All right. Okay. Shall we have a look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chats? Should we do that now? Last bit of the show. Friday morning. All right. Let's have a look. The Rumble. We'll always start with Rumble Rants. There's quite a few. There's quite a few here, so we'll get through them. Who do you think's in at number one? And still, at number one, reigning, defending, undisputed champion of Bo Show Rumble Rants, Global Church History, of course. You say, on this day, in 1479 BC, Hatshepsut becomes regent to Thutmose III. Yeah, Hatshepsut, a woman. who was married to Thutmose the Second, who then died. She becomes sort of queen regent. She then marries her stepson, I believe it was her stepson, Thutmose the Third. Anyway, eventually, one way or another, she rules on her own as a type of female pharaoh, because you had to be a man to be a pharaoh. But more than once in Egyptian history, it was just a woman. It just fell to a woman. So she would rule as a female pharaoh. Interesting, though, isn't it? Because Mary Beard, according to Mary Beard, globalist shill Mary Beard, LARPing as a historian, leftist activist partisan with the veneer of a historian over the top of it, wrote a whole book about women, how women have never had any political voices. Never. Funny. Seems to me like history is littered with them. Hatshepsut ruled on her own as a female pharaoh. Not the only woman to have done that in ancient Egypt. Funny. Funny Mary Beard should make that argument. Thought she was supposed to be a serious historian. Oh no, that's right, she isn't. Okay. Global Church History also says, in 387 AD, St. Augustine was baptised in Milan. Well, that would have to be St. Augustine of Hippo. Not to be confused with St. Augustine of Canterbury. Anyone doesn't know. There's two St. Augustines in history of note. St. Augustine of Canterbury, which is what, like the early 7th century, isn't it? Late 6th century, early 7th century. Very, very important for English history, ecclesiastical history. But also, perhaps more importantly, in fact, more importantly, St. Augustine of Hippo, early Christian theologian. And you tell us that he was baptised in Milan on this day in 387 AD. Okay. I didn't know that exact data point, but both St. Augustines are very important and worth knowing about. Okay. And then you've said, were you keen on the old fable games? Have you played Masters of Albion? I don't know what the old fable games are, and I've never played Masters of Albion. Sorry about that. I don't do much gaming. I play a little bit of Civ 4 occasionally. That's about it. I used to like playing Heroes of Might and Magic. Heroes of Might and Magic 2 and 3. They're like the only sort of games in that genre I would play. But they're very, very simple games. They were already really old then, Heroes of Might and Magic. But they're just, you know, sometimes simple games are fun. Relatively simple. But these days, I don't really do much gaming at all. Other than the odd bit of Civ 4. That really is it. I haven't got enough time. I need to finish my novel. I just haven't got enough time. And so, I don't know the old fable games. Sorry, just don't. Masters of Albion, never heard of it. Sounds like it would be fun. But sorry, no. All right. GWFF says, Lloyd's of London war risk premiums went from 0.2 per vessel value per transit to about 1%. That's a fivefold increase. Vessel charter rates hit $500,000 per day. Okay, those numbers don't mean too much to me, but I get the overall point you're making. That it's difficult to insure a ship to go. I can only assume you're talking about going through the Straits of Hormuz. Lloyd's of London and other companies that insure shipping. You want to use them now, they're going to make you pay through the nose for it. Yeah, because it's so dangerous. Yeah, makes sense. Makes sense. Same person, GWFF, the next one is also you, says, insurers won't cover transit without military escort. When Lloyd's normalises, the crisis ends, not before. Fair point. Probably, yeah. Watch Lloyd's war risk premiums, not Brent crude prices. A good point. Probably a very, very good point. Yeah, an insightful point. Fair enough. Yeah, I'll take that on board. I mean, I can watch both. You would think crude prices are at least tangentially linked to what Lloyd's are doing and saying. Well, they will be. The price on the open market will be. But nonetheless, very good point. Absolutely. Yep, take that on board. All right. 14 Barber says, morning, all right? Yeah, I'm all right. You're all right? Cheers, buddy. Terrific St. George's Day yesterday. Still a bit bloated feeling now. What, do you have a couple of drinks? On the old booze. I hear Rupert was on the telly last night, which is nice. I think telly is dead. Have a fantastic weekend ahead. Cheers, mate. You too. Yeah, I didn't see. I was completely out of the loop yesterday evening and everything. Didn't watch any TV or on the internet at all. But yeah, was he on the TV? I have to look into that. Yeah, TV is dying, isn't it? People watch what they want to watch when they want to watch it on the internet now, don't they, really? Just terrestrial TV channels. Most people I know, even older people, increasingly less inclined to just watch normal TV. All right, that's a random name says, I'm getting absolutely fed up with these effing traitors selling our nations and their peoples out to our enemies. I guess you're talking in reference all about the attempted prosecutions of our soldiers, yeah. When we win, we will have Nuremberg-style trials for every single one of them, Deus Vult. Yeah, I would like to see some sort of reckoning, legal reckoning, for people that have betrayed us and acted as enemies of the people and the state. I'd put Boris up there. Tony Blair. All the Prime Ministers since Blair onwards, all the Home Secretaries since Blair onwards, including Braverman. Braverman did nothing wrong. Yeah, needs to be some sort of reckoning. I agree. JC Warlock says, just simply says, Farage is a wet sponge. Where's the lie? Scanning for lies. No lies detected. JC Warlock also says, the next few are all JC Warlock. You say, I'm seeing a lot more people nowadays talking about the death of the magnetosphere and a potential Mars future. Why go to Mars when we can prep to have it here? Happy Friday, bro. Loch Ness Castle. The death of the magnetosphere. That's generated by the spinning iron core of the Earth, isn't it? I might be terribly wrong about that, but that's not what that is, isn't it? I don't think the iron core of the Earth is set to stop spinning anytime soon, is it? The poles might flip. That could happen at any time, right? Suddenly the North Pole is the South Pole and vice versa, which might screw up loads of things, satellites and all sorts of stuff on Earth. But the idea that the full death of the magnetosphere, I've not heard that. I've not heard about that. I might be wrong, but I don't think the core of the Earth is set to stop spinning anytime soon. Okay, JC Walter also goes on to say, so it's bad when we do it, but when Pelosi does it, everything is hunky-dory, seems legit. I don't know exactly what that would be in reference to. What would that be in reference to? Pelosi, it's bad when we do it. What when Pelosi does it? I don't know what you... Harry, do you know what he might be in reference to? It's probably, everyone's probably so obvious what that's in reference to, but I can't think. Nancy Pelosi, what does she do? Give Ukraine loads of money? Is it in reference to that? Or when her husband drink drives? It's okay when the male Pelosi... Sorry, go. Betting. Oh, that's right, that makes sense, yeah. When Pelosi, one of the greatest investors of all time, Nancy Pelosi, one of the greatest stock pickers of all time. Yeah. When she gets inside information and then gets her husband, Paul Pelosi, convicted drink driver, Paul Pelosi. Weird hammer attack victim, Paul Pelosi. He puts bets on the market. Yeah, that's fine. Nothing to see here. Anyone else does it, yeah, it's a crime. Good point, yeah. Nancy Pelosi, so corrupt. Unbelievably corrupt. Like she is, and Paul Pelosi is the greatest, one of the greatest investors, to statistically, of all time. Okay. J.C. Warlock says, they swapped Khomeini out like they did MJ Agta. The Pepsi incident. Is that Michael Jackson? Michael Jackson got his hair set on fire in a Pepsi advert. Is that what that's talking about? And Paul McCartney's brother, lol. I can believe it, to be honest. Yeah, some say Paul McCartney isn't the real Paul McCartney. I don't know about any of that. Interesting, though. That's sort of... He's getting edging towards the tinfoil hat stuff for me. Who knows, though? Who knows? And finally, JT Wallach again says, 20% loss of field strength called an excursion and increasing. Pelosi was the insider trading story. Okay, right, yeah. Okay, cool. Cheers. Okay. Yeah, 20% loss of field strength called an excursion. Hmm. All right, let's hop over to the YouTube Super Chats. There's quite a few of these as well. It's Friday morning. I'm recording later today, but not straight after this, so we've got a bit of time. It's already 20 past, but it's Friday. Give you a little bit more bang for your buck. People watching the Bo Show live, the best among us. Right, let's go through them. We've got Tux034 says, Happy Sigurd's Day for yesterday. Hail the old gods. Okay, cool. I've got a little bit of a soft spot in my heart for all different various stripes of pagans. I don't know what Sigurd's Day is, though. I probably should, shouldn't I? I want to get Survive the Jive on him, Tom Rosell, at some point. He'll probably know all about that. Probably know all about... I'm sorry, I don't know what Sigurd's Day is. Is it a thing? Hey, all the old gods. Okay, thank you. Opening Doors 1 says, Hi, Bo. Anzac Day here in Oz tomorrow. Lest we forget. Yeah. Okay, cool. Anzac Day tomorrow. Anzac, the brave, brave Anzacs. Australian and New Zealand troops that fought in the various world wars. Sometimes extremely bravely. Some of the stuff the Australians and Aussies did in World War One, in the Western Front, in the Gallipoli campaign. Loads of stuff in World War II. Loads of stuff in World War II against the Japanese, all over Southeast Asia. Sometimes incredible, incredible acts of bravery. I was reading just the other day, it was an Australian regiment on the Western Front in World War I. Doing incredible things, holding the line. The Anzacs. Okay, great stuff. Okay, what else have we got here? The Ezek86 said, All these data breaches are the best reason not to have digital ID. Yeah. Thank God the government, at least for now, has dropped, our government in Britain, has dropped the whole digital ID card thing. For now. Yeah, I don't want a digital ID. I really, really don't want them to have my, the data where they scan your eye and your fingerprints. Not because I've done anything wrong. It's the principle of it. Oh, you haven't done anything wrong. Just let us scan your iris. You don't need to, though. Why do you want it? Can you guarantee it won't end up in the hands of the Chinese that are then selling it to the whole world? How can you guarantee that's not just going to get out there for anyone to use and abuse? Oh, you can't guarantee that. But I've got to do it, have I? Okay. Turk034 again says, Hello from Naomi 8 and Leo 5 in Amesbury, Wiltshire. Oh, hello there. Good morning. Good morning, Naomi and Leo. Amesbury's not very far from here. We're in Swindon, right? It's not very far at all. Cool. Good morning. School makes them watch News Round. So counteracting with some real news. Happy Friday, St. George's flag. Lovely. Happy Friday. Thank you. That's very wholesome. Love it. Love it. Yeah. Lovely stuff. Azzy0161 says, he is literally the mouth of Sauron. WTF. Deport. You talking about Lord Homer, perhaps? Again, if you send in a super chat, you've got to, if you can, try and make it sort of playing, make it clear as though I'm five, what you're referencing. I guess you're talking about Lord Homer there. Oh, you're talking about the Brighton Beach Egyptian murderer, gang rapist dude. He is literally the mouth of Sauron, yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Erwin Romulus says, he's, I guess it's for the same thing, he's laughing because the Setco man is explaining Operation Scatter. Oh, just scatter them around the country. Yeah, he's laughing. It's infuriating, isn't it? He's laughing. In any just or sane society, that man would be put to death. Wouldn't he? Be hung by the neck until dead, or something worse. Any normal society. A foreign invading gang rapist should be killed. Serco. You've put later, the next thing. He's laughing because the Serco man is explaining Operation Scatter. Yeah, sad, isn't it? Sad. Okay, the next one. My Gamer for Life says, American here, going to sleep at 4 a.m. Can't wait to watch this in 8 hours. Godspeed, Bo. Godspeed. Thanks for watching. Thank you for watching. Thank you for the super chat. Appreciate it. Whereabouts in America are you? Let me know next time you send one in. Hans Hayden. The colours that are coming up today, just to let you know why I'm struggling a little bit here. The colours are really pale colours on my screen here, and the writing's in white. So my eyeballs are struggling a bit with reading it a little bit. What's it say? My Gamer for Life. Oh no, I've done that one, sorry. Pants Hader. Pants Hader says, I'm a bowl de homo. It's obviously a funny... I'm a bowl de homo. I know. It's obviously like a Bart Simpson style ringing up Mo Sizzlack, getting him to say something funny. Homo, I don't get it. Anyway, sorry. It's probably really obvious, but I see what you did. I don't mind that. It's funny. I think that's funny. All right. I'll just read out. You've written... I'm a boldy homo-o. Harry, do you get it? What's he doing? What's he doing? Oh, thank you. I'm a baldy homo. Clip that. You can just clip that. Those jokes are funny. I find those jokes funny. Okay. Mr. Dickie Bingo. Commies, pinkos, socialists, all wrong-uns. Yeah. Exactly that. Exactly that. Perfect sentiment. Absolutely right. Okay. Shrike says, the UK has no appetite. UK is already conquered. No, you're wrong. You're wrong. We're not conquered. No. And we'll reverse it. We can and will reverse it. Sorry. You're simply wrong. Okay. Little Tesla. Little Tesla says, TV is for gimps. Love the Breakfast Bowcast. And then multiple thumbs up. Yeah, lovely. Lovely stuff. Keeping it real, right? Keeping it real. Thank you. Thank you for the super chat. Oh, and the last one. We're down to the last one already here. Matthew C83. Thanks, Matthew. Super fan. He's a great guy. That Matthew. Good dude. What have you said this morning? You've said, I encourage the entire army to resign, not just the SAS. Nobody should defend the economic zone which occupies what used to be England. Fair point. Fair point. Kind of agree with this sentiment. Got some reservations about someone could actually invade us at that point, but the general point, the general sentiment you're making, I mean, yeah. Why would anyone really want to defend this? Not physically the land and our people, but the government, the regime that's currently ruling over it. Yeah. Doesn't deserve to be defended, does it? You're right. All right. Well, that's the show. That's the show. It's Friday. It's now just past 9:30. 9:30 in the AM, British summertime. And Friday, the 24th of April in the year of our Lord, 2026. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers. Thank you for joining me. Without you, it isn't a thing. It really isn't a thing. Try and make the best of the weekend ahead if you can. Your time's the most valuable thing you've got. You'll never get it back. It's a finite thing. You can never get it back. More valuable than anything you can actually physically own. Far more valuable is your time. Try and make it count. Okay, have a good weekend. Until Monday morning.
Social Casino. Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.